In Luke chapter 20, again, Christ has entered Jerusalem. This is the last week of his life before his death on the cross. And so some things are getting a little bit more serious. And what he's talking about. And Luke chapter 20, we're reading verses 1 through 26. And beginning in verse 1 of Luke chapter 20, these are the words of God. On one of the days while he was teaching the people in the temple and preaching the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes with the elders confronted him. And they spoke, saying to him, "Tell us by what authority you are doing these things, or who is the one who gave you this authority?" Jesus answered and said to them, "I will also ask you a question, and you tell me, was the baptism of John from heaven or from men?" They reasoned among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, why did you not believe him? But if we say from men, all the people will stone us to death, for they are convinced that John was a prophet." So they answered that they did not know where it came from. And Jesus said to them, "Nor will I tell you by what authority I do these things." And he began to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard and rented it out to vine growers and went on a journey for a long time. At the harvest time, he sent a slave to the vine growers so that they would give him some of the produce of the vineyard. But the vine growers beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And he proceeded to send another slave. And they beat him also and treated him shamefully and sent him away empty-handed. And he proceeded to send a third, and this one also they wounded and cast out. The owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the vine growers saw him, they reasoned with one another, saying, "This is the heir. Let us kill him so that the inheritance will be ours." So they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What, then, will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy these vine growers and will give the vineyard to others. When they heard it, they said, "May it never be." But Jesus looked at them and said, "What then is this that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, this became the chief cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, but on whomever it falls, it will scatter him like dust." The scribes and the chief priests tried to lay hands on him that very hour. And they feared the people, for they understood that he spoke this parable against them. So they watched him and sent spies who pretended to be righteous in order that they might catch him in some statement so that they could deliver him to the rule and authority of the governor. They questioned him, saying, "Teacher, we know that you speak and teach correctly, and you're not partial to any, but teach the way of God in truth. Is it lawful for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But he detected their trickery and said to them, "Show me a denarius. Whose likeness and inscription does it have?" They said, "Caesar's." And he said to them, "Then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." And they were unable to catch him in a saying in the presence of the people. And being amazed at his answer, they became silent. And that is God's word. Well, what authority does Christ have? He's asked by the chief priest. And his answer, like many of his answers to questions when people try to question him, his answer is to ask another question. And his question concerned John the Baptizer, which they did not want to answer because of their hardness of heart. Because, you remember, John came from the Lord preaching repentance. That is, with baptism, the baptism of repentance. That they ought to turn from their sins that they have been so long in entering into. And behold, he said, the Lamb of God, Christ, who takes away the sin of the world. But many of the Jews, especially the leaders, the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees and the elders, many of the Jews did not want to believe that Christ had come. And so here they don't answer. Then we have the parable of the unjust vine growers. The owner of the land is talked about, that is the Lord. He rented out his vineyard to vine growers, we might say, the Jews. And through this parable, we see that the Lord sent servants, that is, prophets, like John the Baptist, or John the Baptizer. He sent servants, the prophets, to those Jews who should have listened, who should have listened to the warnings, and they should have repented of their sins and looked for the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one who was going to come. And if they would have listened, they would have worked well in the vineyard that the Lord gave. But to all of them, they treated these servants, the prophets, they treated them harshly. And so then the Lord sent His own Son. The owner of the vineyard sent His own Son. That is, the Lord sent Christ. And they killed Him. What will the Lord do to the vine growers? He will come and destroy them. Because they were wicked servants. He had put them over His vineyard to grow it, to produce fruit, but they did not. Beloved, we are called here to believe and receive Christ and His ministers, even today as we apply this to ourselves, for they come to serve the Lord. And just as the prophets had, you had to test the prophets, there were good prophets and false prophets, and so if their word came true, and today ministers, if their word is in accordance with the Scriptures, we test just like the Bereans did. But if you're a Christian, now you are a servant. You're no different than the Jews in that sense. You're a servant in His vineyard if you're in Christ. And so you ought to be wise, to be holy, and serve Him now. And the last thing we hear is a question from those who are trying to trip up Jesus, especially we see here the chief priests, they're trying to question Him a little bit more intensely than they had previously. They have done this in the past, but here they're continually doing it on this last week of His life because they want to put Him to death. They want to destroy Him, which the parable He just spoke of declares will happen. Well, here are these people that they send who are trying to appear righteous before Christ. And Christ knows. They're trying to deceive Christ. And they ask the question concerning the lawfulness of paying taxes to a secular ruler. Here for them would be Caesar. And He responds with, again, another question and then an answer. Matthew Henry says of this, of his response, "In civil things you ought to submit to the civil powers. And so if Caesar protects you in your civil rights by laws and the administration of justice, you ought to pay him tribute, that is, taxes. But in sacred things, God only is your king." But we would note also that we would go past that, not only just what Matthew Henry said, because he doesn't cover what the entirety of what the Scriptures say. We would note that the Lord has given you governing authorities. And in that way, it is in a sense sacred, because it comes from Him. It's not secular in that sense. Though the governing authorities are secular, they're not part of the church or anything like that. But He is king over them. And He's given you governing authorities, and you're to submit to them. And so not just because of what of the rights, the laws that they do, and they're trying to defend you, defend your lives, at least supposedly, supposed to, but we're always to submit to our governing authorities. But Christ says, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." Well, the civil authorities, the civil magistrates, are God's. They're His servants, Romans 13 says. They're His servants. And so as we are rendering the things to Caesar that are Caesar's, we are rendering to God the things that are God's. And keep that in mind, for we're submitting unto Him when we submit to them in accordance with His Word. And so, beloved, we're called here in this passage to be faithful to our Lord, to be in prayer for our rulers, certainly, but to remember here of the evil in men, even in ourselves, the possibility there. Even if you're in Christ, the possibility is there to be just like the Jews. When the servants come, God's servants come and they preach the word, there's that possibility of sin in you to deny them, to disagree with them, to go against, in other words, to go against God's word. Because that's what the prophets were saying. The Lord declares. Thus saith the Lord. And so we ought to be watchful and care that we listen to our elders. But also in that, be Bereans, like the Bereans, looking at the Scriptures to make sure what we hear is true in accordance with the Word. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful that You give us Your Word, and You use servants, You use ministers and elders to bring Your Word to us, Your people. We're thankful that You are a God who does not remain silent, but You reveal Yourself again and again to us, because we are a forgetful people, or a people who are often sinful, and we could be like the Jews that were talked about in this parable, and hear the Word and deny Your Word. And Father, we confess our sin, that we often deny Your Word, even though when it has been stored up in our hearts, we quench the Spirit and grieve the Spirit. And we do that which is, we know, even in contradiction to Your command. Father, we have lacking of faith. And so, Father, as we believe, we pray that You would help our unbelief. For we are a weak people, and so we pray that even in our weakness, You would be strong as You work in us. Father, we depend upon You. We are not independent people. We are dependent upon Your mercy, upon Your grace, upon Your Son, upon Your Spirit, and upon You, Father, as You love us. And You've always loved us, Your people. Father, we pray that we would not be found rebellious. Rebellious against You. Rebellious against our governing authorities, or any authority, in accordance with the fifth commandment. But Father, we pray for them. We pray for all those who are in authority over us, in their different offices and different positions. We pray that You would save them, that You would cause them to love us. You would cause them to rule according to Your Word. We pray especially for our governing authorities, as we've heard in this passage. And You would cause them to be saved. You would send Your Spirit and cause them to love You. We know that there are very few of our governing authorities who love You. And even of those governing authorities who love You, there are still fewer who struggle. There are those who struggle with seeing You as King over all. Father, our country is not perfect. Our founding documents are not perfect. But thankfully, Your Word is perfect. Father, we pray that You would give us endurance in the times of testing and trial, even at the hands of our rulers, sometimes in our church under the authority of the elders, sometimes in our homes with our parents. Father, we pray that You would give us comfort and strength to submit to those who are in authority over us with humility and patience, knowing that they too are not perfect. Thankfully, though, that You are perfect, and that You have put them over us for a good purpose, for Your glory and for our good, as You work all things together for Your good, for our good, and those who love You and are called according to Your purpose. Now, Father, we pray that You would, as we've sang, that You would, as our Creator, continue to sustain us, provide for us, protect us, and keep speaking Your Word to us. Do not allow ourselves to shut up our own ears and become hardened in heart. But Father, by your Spirit, soften our hearts and open up our minds and hearts and mold us to be holy as Christ is holy. Father, we pray for those who have gone out from us, that you would call them to yourself and you would cause them to love you. We pray also for those who have moved, like Mary Ashley and Phyllis and Ron and Karen. We pray that you would provide a godly gospel preaching, truth speaking church where they can worship you in spirit and in truth, of which we pray for ourselves even now. Father, perfect our worship in your Son, and receive it from your Son, and receive our worship as from your Son. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.